Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Richard Cowan.
Cowan. Okay. Hold on a second, sir. Okay. Again, state your name and your ABC number for the record.
Richard Cowan, 301080.
Thank you, Mr. Cowan. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your warrant. And based upon information that we have, you was notified of this hearing back on May the 30th of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And on that, it stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today, but I assume that you want to represent yourself today.
Yes, sir.
And as you can see, there are five board members participating in the hearing today. In fact, a full complement of board members are here today, all five of us. And to my left, your right, would be the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. Next to him would be the Honorable Mr. David Neal. On the other side of me would be the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And on the other side of Ms. Rittenhouse is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair, and I'm going to conduct your hearing, sir. We also have in the room with us today, and that is Mr. Westby, who you should be able to see now. Mr. Westby is here today representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Mr. Cowan and Mr. Westby, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes,
I do.
Thank you. As I indicated, sir, you have one allegation on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation, and once I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false, sir? And it reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within one working day after your release on about July 7, 2017. Your whereabouts was unknown, that she was in the struggle from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Cowan, I move to find that he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, I'm going to say second by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed. By the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now we're preparing to go into phase two of your hearing. This is a very important phase because at the end of this phase, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on supervision. We'll be doing phase two by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Corrections. But I said you remain quiet, and we'll be back just to talk to you in just a few moments. So at this time, Mr. Westby, would you give us some background information, sir?
Yes, sir. On July 7th, 2017, Mr. Cohen was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 1st, 2018 by Phoenix PD. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on May 1st, 2018. With an adjusted community supervision end date of August 31st, 2018, which reflects 298 abscond days. Current conviction, 2015, aggravated assault, 2.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs noted. There are no other arrests on record. His community risk score is a G3-B4.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Westby. Okay, so we are back to you. We just want to talk to you a few moments, mainly from your case supervision summary. We do take note that when you were released, you were to reside at TLC Halfway House in Phoenix, down Roosevelt in Phoenix, and you somehow, I guess you, you were discharged, and I guess we don't know what happened to you at the end of the day. So what did happen did you after you left TLC, or did you leave TLC, sir?
Yeah, I
got
released, I called the parole officer, family, and he said I got told him if I'm going to Monday, because I didn't know it was 72 hours, I didn't know about that because it's my first time I'm in trouble. Well, I told him, he's like, as long as I'm there on Monday at 10 o'clock, no later than 10 o'clock in the morning, I can go out, I think that's fine. So I showed up Monday at 10 o'clock to my pro office, and then I didn't have ID, I didn't know I had to have ID, and I talked to a corrections officer, there was a corrections officer working in front. He's like, I get my name, I get my information, he's like, well, you have an ID, your personal ID, I was like, no, sir, I don't. He's like, this is what he told me, he's like, well, since it's going to be up to 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have one for your rest, so I got to get that, that's what happened. So I'm like, I lied to you, there's no reason why she got it, so.
So you didn't have a chance to get your ID, and you were arrested, and that's why we're talking to you today, am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Why were you prison ID, sir? Why didn't you have that with you, sir?
I gave it to my wife somehow. She also wrote it. Because I don't carry my ID or anything like that. I have my wife do it for me. She has all my social security cards. She has a birth certificate, everything. And I let her carry my stuff for me. And she also wrote it. And it has my daughter's birth certificate. And it has my daughter's social security card. I have everything. So she lost it. I didn't have it. I told the correctional officer that he told me it wasn't. It's my fault. I should have just went and got it, like, and took it back. But I got scared, like I said, I got scared and went around, so it's mine. I have nobody else to blame but myself for this.
Okay. Now, according to Mr. Wesley, representing the Department of Corrections, you do abscond to, I believe, 298 days. What were you doing those 298 days that you were missing, sir?
I worked for my dad. My dad owns a bunch of tire shops out there. My stepdad, that's what I do. I work, and that's what I did do. I just wanted to work for him. It's not like I was running, hiding from nobody. I never got a police contact because I don't get in trouble. Like, he read my rights. Like, I've never been in trouble before. So I just worked. That's all I was doing. Well, my little brother just passed away, and my little brother just killed himself on March 29th. So I fell off, and I got caught May 1st, so I can't. My fault, like I said.
So how did you get caught? I think you got caught by the Phoenix Police Department. So how did you get caught?
Yes, sir. I was taking my trash out in my apartment, and the police drove by, and it was just a wrongful. I looked like somebody was looking for it, but it wasn't me. It was somebody else, you know? And they asked my name, I gave my name, I didn't give them number, they said, you got a warrant, and I cuffed up for them, and when they brought me into corrections, the corrections officer asked him, did you have a problem with it? No, he gave us everything up, so there's no problem with it. That's how I got caught.
Where were you at your father's residence? That's where you were residing, sir?
I was at my apartment. I settled down in Canada because my lady just got an apartment over there. My wife, my fiance.
Okay.
That's where we was at.
Okay, if you only one moment, we want to get some information coming from the Department of Corrections. Mr. West, yes, sir.
Yes, I just want to inform the Board of Executive Clemency that upon reviewing the criminal notes here, Parole Supervisor Oliveri had sent absconder reduction program letters to contact addresses that Mr. Cohen had at 4530 McClellan Road in Glendale, and also a 4529 West Ocotillo Road in Glendale that he had listed as previous addresses or residents of family members.
So none of those got to you, sir?
No, sir, none of those got to me at all. I was talking, but none of those got to me at all.
Just too bad, because those absconding letters and all that they sent out, if you show up with those, more than likely they're going to squash the warrant if you show up. No, sir, you go ahead. This is your hearing, sir.
Yeah, if I got this, I would definitely show up. I don't want to be locked up. It's not my fault to be here. It's my fault to be here. I put myself in this position. Nobody else put me in this position, so.
Okay, well, this time I'm going to yield to other board members who might have some questions for you. Distinguished board members, do you have questions? I don't believe that they have any questions for you, sir. However, we're coming to the end of your hearing, and this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board. We do request that you not repeat yourself, but is there anything else you would like to tell the board at this time, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, sir. Well, the board is going into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves, and since this is your first time coming before this board, and we commend you for having not had an opportunity to come before this board in terms of criminal justice in the past, and we trust that this will be your last time that you will come before this board, that you will have a successful future and remain crime-free from this point on. But we have not discussed your case, and as it is in the state of Arizona, we operate under the open meeting law, therefore we do everything in public. So you just listen, and once we complete this discussion, the board will take a vote, a public vote, and then you will hear the results at that time. The board is now in discussion. This is a very unfortunate situation. Just lack of communications and the lack of Mr. Fowler is correct, and I'm going to take for granted that he was correct. If he had just had his ID or had somehow to second to find for his family or friends to find that those absconding letters, two of them were sent over to Glendale, and apparently an legal one ended up with him, and as a result of that, he ended up absconding for some, 298 days, and we just can't overlook that. That's a long time, 298 days, although we trust that what he said is true, he was working, and but we just, I cannot, let me not say we, I cannot as one board member overlook that, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members who might see things different than I don't hear any comments from other board members, therefore I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be to find that based upon information contained in work number 2017W2388, as well as testimony coming from the Department of Corrections, Mr. Westby, I'm going to, also in as much as he absconded for 298 days, based upon that, I'm going to move to revoke this account, revoke his community supervision. That is my vote, my motion to revoke his community supervision at this time.
Second.
Agreed.
A motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, Honorable Mr. Neal, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. However, you will be out according to information that we have on August the 31st of this year. It's not that long. It's just a matter of weeks and not a matter of years. So we wish you the best, sir, and thank you so very much. You sound very intelligent. And you sound as if you know where you're going, so we wish you the best. And he hung up, so this will end his hearing.